The Supreme Court takes a bite out of Apple, declining to hear the company's appeal of a ruling upholding a decision that it conspired with five book publishers to set the retail price of ebooks. Apple is stuck with that decision. What does it mean for the company? Details coming up.
Stay plugged in and cut through the static. This is Tech News Briefing from The Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. The United States Supreme Court declined to hear Apple's appeal to overturn a judge's finding that it created a conspiracy among book publishers to fix the price of ebooks. Here to break down this case and refresh our memory as to how we got here is Brent Kendall. He is a Wall Street Journal reporter based in D.C. He's on the line now. Welcome, Brent.
Thanks for having me.
So can you just take us back a few years to the genesis of this case? How did we get here?
Well, we got here as Apple was preparing its launch of the iPad in 2010. They wanted to open a digital bookstore, and, you know, they wanted all the major publishers on board. What they didn't want to do is to open this bookstore and sell books at a loss, which Amazon was basically the dominant player for online ebook purchases, and for many of the titles, that's exactly what it would do. It would price these titles below what it actually paid from the publishers for them, but they were sort of loss leaders that Amazon used to get customers in the door. Well, Apple didn't want to do that, so it negotiated with the different publishers for a different pricing model, which then the publishers went back and used to exert leverage over Amazon's to get them to go to a different model that would result in prices increasing. And, you know, in theory, there's nothing wrong with arm's length negotiations, but the Justice Department in the states that sued said, you know, these weren't arm's length negotiations and that, you know, Apple facilitated a price-fixing conspiracy with all the publishers, basically with everybody getting together and agreeing how they wanted to execute this change in pricing strategy.
Right, and obviously this went on for years. What was Apple's next move in this?
Sure. Well, so, you know, this has been in the courts for several years. They lost. Apple, the publishers all settled. Apple decided to roll the dice and go to trial. I mean, and this was a civil matter, not a criminal matter.
Right.
But they lost at trial, and they lost on appeal, and so their last chance was here at the Supreme Court, and the court on Monday said, you know, we're not going to hear this case. So after Apple lost its earlier liability finding, it reached a tentative settlement with the states and with some private plaintiffs and said, look, you know, if our case is ultimately unsuccessful, we agree to pay about $400 million to consumers and another $50 million to cover the attorney's fees from the people who sued us. So they've now, after today, Apple's appeal efforts are completely exhausted, so now they will comply with that settlement.
Right. What does this mean for Apple in terms of payment, in terms of where they stand now? What are we looking at?
So what that means is this $400 million will get distributed. It looks like there's about 23 million consumers who bought ebooks that over the time period for this lawsuit who may have been affected. So those people can expect to get credits probably in the range of a few bucks towards the purchase of future ebooks.
Right. So the company obviously waged a costly legal campaign to try to beat these charges. Is this a big hit for Apple, not just financially, but, I mean, obviously it's not the best PR either?
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, $400 million is a big number, although, you know, for a big company like Apple, I mean, it's not going to have an overly substantial effect on them. I mean, the press from this whole thing can't be good for them. At the same time, I mean, you know, their argument, and people believe one of the reasons they really fought this case was, you know, they argued they didn't feel like they did anything wrong and that Amazon had been dominant in this industry and their tactics weren't good for publishers, which meant life wasn't good for authors and the industry overall wasn't a healthy one, and that they were basically a disruptive force that came in and provided a new competitor, and suddenly publishers and authors had a different outlet for their work, and that everything was more healthy with them involved.
Right.
So, you know, they've made that argument throughout. Obviously, it came up short, and I think it's fair to say the company will be happy to put this chapter behind them.
All right, and there you have it. Brent Kendall, thanks for joining the podcast.
Sure, thank you.
For more info, be sure to check out Brent's article at WSJ.com. That's it for the Tech News Briefing. Remember, you can check out all of our podcasts at WSJ.com/podcasts. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and now Spotify as well, so look for us there. This has been the Tech News Briefing for The Wall Street Journal. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.